I'm telling these tears go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I came.
What's up, y'all? Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I hope you all have had a good week. I, for one, am very much looking forward to the weekend. I plan on unplugging from politics entirely for the entire weekend because it has been quite the fire hose of politics over the last couple of weeks here. We all will need a break. But not quite yet today. We'll talk about a bunch of things. But of course, I got Terry Barr coming to join each and every one of you for what's good, local, and overlooked in the 330 block here on the Maggie Dawn Show. And before that, I'm really excited to be joined by one of my civic media colleagues, my friend, and now he will also be your friend, Mark Becker, the host of The Rational Revolution. A former Republican will be joining me in the 3 o'clock hour on the phones to have a little discussion. And yesterday, because each and every one of you are so much an integral part of this show, because here at Civic Media, again, we're trying to do real news and have great conversation every day. Each and every one of you make this show so very special. I got an absolutely terrific question yesterday from one of our very savvy listeners. He asked me what has happened to the corporate tax rate in this country over many years, as well as what is the total amount of federal revenue, tax revenue, that has come from corporations as a percentage? How has that changed over the years? Because, of course, all of this is quite an important discussion as we're looking at a U.S. government that is highly likely to take the corporate tax rate down even lower under Donald Trump, lauded by some and derided by others. I'm one of those others that doesn't think further tax reductions are a good idea or even necessary for corporations and the wealthy. So we're going to get to all of that. But I wanted to start with something. I think most of you, if you've been listening to me for a while here on Civic Media, know that I'm an old has-been athlete. I've played my fair share of sports over the years. In fact, one of my earliest memories is for sporting was, of course, a little co-ed t-ball back in the day, which was good fun and certainly got me going down the sports rabbit hole, which has been very much a part of my life forever. I played rugby in college. I was a three-sport athlete in high school. Thought about maybe playing basketball because I'm quite tall for college on a scholarship. Probably wasn't good enough to quite get there, but thought about it and was fortunate enough to attend Marquette University, of course, on an academic scholarship. So I'd rather just get paid to be a student as opposed to a student athlete. We all know what a misnomer that is. But it's all that background, as well as the fact that I'm a Marquette alumni, that caused me to pay attention to a particular article that came out in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a couple of days ago, and we just haven't had time yet to get to it, but I thought today would be a good opportunity. Excuse me. And it's an article about allegations of misconduct that have been leveled by former Marquette women's basketball players against the former coach, Carolyn Kiger, who is now the women's basketball coach at Penn State. And these allegations are coming from a range of players, but it includes several of her star players from her time where she was the coach of the Golden Eagles. This was first reported by Onward State, which is an independent news organization that covers Penn State athletics, obviously. Penn State Athletics been through some rocky times in the last decade or so. And again, the story came out this week and then the Journal Sentinel picked it up. And they spoke with many of these players that have made these accusations against their former coach. And I just wanted to get into these and then open this up for discussion with all of you about college athletics in general. Certainly the big picture has changed quite a lot since the Supreme Court ruled that college athletes had a right to market and sell their name, image, and likeness. So the NIL ruling, that has changed the contour of college athletics. But for the vast majority of college athletes, they're not selling their name, image, and likeness because nobody knows who they are. You know what I'm saying? So if nobody knows who you are, no business is going to pay you anything for your name, image, or likeness. So for the vast, vast majority of college athletes, especially women college athletes, though that has, it has been changing, thank goodness, the NIL money ain't a real thing, right? And so the relationship, if you are a scholarship athlete attending a university, tends to be one of just an absolute power asymmetry. If a coach were to kick you off a team, you lose your scholarship in most universities. If you are injured and you cannot play, you often will get kicked off the team and lose your scholarship. So one way to think about this is that college athletes basically have one-year contracts and none of their money, none of their compensation, i.e. tuition, room, board, food, is guaranteed. They can lose it almost at any time. And listen, I've never been an athletic director of a major college sports program. I've never been a college coach, but I have been coached by a lot of different people over my career. Some good, some amazing, and some absolutely terrible. And I've seen some pretty incredible things from coaches. Basically, every kind of behavior that you could imagine, I have seen from coaches. We're going to discuss that. But if you are a college athlete, or you've got a kid that's a college athlete, or somebody you know, or you've got strong opinions about this, I want to hear about it. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Because what this article points to is the sort of abuse that can take such a toll on student athletes. And I think that there is an epidemic of this sort of abuse. I think there have been reports. Again, there was a hockey coach, I think from Harvard, that has been accused of absolutely grotesque misconduct by her players. This stuff matters. And I think on women's sports teams, again, because they don't enjoy the notoriety or the frankly, as much of the publicity that many men's athletic programs enjoy, that the potential for extraordinary abuse is, all else being equal, a bit higher in women's athletics. And the thing that has bugged me about this for so very, very long is that the reporting mechanisms and the systems that are supposed to protect athletes are completely unreliable, and they vary greatly from campus to campus, and as well as between public and private universities. So I want to get into all the details of this reporting from Marquette, about the Marquette women's basketball former coach, again, coach's name is Carolyn Kiger. She's now with Penn State. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But I want to hear from you. I am so tired of this idea that college athletics is about the student. It's not. It really never has been. I mean, it has always been about the money that is generated for universities from these athletes that they purchase by promising them an education. And we could get into, and we can if y'all want to, the absurdities of the fact that colleges vary greatly on whether or not they're actually graduating these student athletes, whether these student athletes go on to have careers and are able to support themselves, or if it is, you know, a deeply exploitative arrangement in many cases. And again, there's variations from sport to sport, from university to university, between public and private universities. But again, I think fundamentally, the power asymmetries between coaches and these so-called student athletes are so extraordinary that the possibility for abuse and frankly, permanent psychological damage is quite high. We're going to talk about all that. Again, want to hear from you. What are your experiences? What are your opinions about this fiction of the student athlete in college athletics? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. One of the players that went on the record to make these complaints about former Marquette women's basketball coach Carolyn Keeger is a player named Alizia Blockton. She was a pretty big star. She went to MU in the 2014-2015. I think that's when about she was there. Miss Blockton is a former Whitefish Bay Dominican standout who is the all-time leading scorer for the Golden Eagles women's program. Again, the all-time leading scorer for the Marquette women's basketball program. And here is what Blockton has said about Coach Keiger. She was our biggest enemy, our biggest hater, and she tried her hardest to tear us down, Blockton told Onward Sports. Quote, every single day we walked into the Al McGuire Center, which is where the Marquette basketball teams practice, and every single day you had a negative feeling. A lot of people didn't want to play basketball anymore, and that messed up a lot of people's mental health and careers because of how she treated people. A lot of people just pushed through it and decided to just move past it, but they didn't want her to control their stories. But in each and every way, she affected someone's career negatively when she was at Marquette. Wow. When like the number one women's player in the history of Marquette women's basketball is saying this woman was a nightmare to be coached by, folks should be paying attention. I'll discuss Penn State's response to these allegations, as well as the statements of a number of other players when we get back. And I'll share with you some of my experiences of coaches running the spectrum over my short and not so illustrious and long since past athletic career. All that and more coming up on the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. May the last one burn into flame.